and welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of March 26th. I am your co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and deep in the heart of Texas, Melissa Hansen.
Hello, or should I say yee-haw?
Howdy.
Howdy, y'all.
Howdy, y'all.
I don't know, something like that.
So what has your week in entertainment looked like?
Not much. Yeah. There's been a lot of driving for me this week.
Yeah.
So I'm listening to country music on the radio.
There you go.
watched a bit of college basketball. Does that count?
Yeah, it's entertainment.
Sure. And we don't have to watch the Baylor boys in their uniforms that burn your retinas anymore. They're out.
Okay.
And Kansas is in the Final Four, so shout out to my friend Stacy, her alma mater. So it's been that, and I feel like Eric here.
What,
I finally saw Zoolander, which I had never seen before, which is hysterically funny. Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson and Will Ferrell, just off the wall, crazy. And Jerry and Anne are in it too.
Oh, no kidding.
Jerry's got a decent part and Anne's got more of a cameo. But right. No, it was funny, and I feel stupid talking about it now, but that's all I have to talk about. So. Yeah.
No, I've been hastily preparing. Speaking of traveling, I've been hastily preparing for disassembling my life in your Los Angeles to move to North Carolina. So I've only had things on in the background, which has basically been trying to catch up on television. I did watch the most recent episode of Smash, which was a workshop episode where they actually pulled off their performance for the investors, and it didn't go very well. So, but the show's already been picked up for a second season. So
yeah, it'll be interesting to see. That's what I've said from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, I like it, but where are they going to go from here?
Yeah.
And it's become kind of soap opera-ish.
It has.
With, you know, the personal lives, which is not a bad thing.
No.
You know, it's just interesting. It's still a good show. But, yeah, we'll have to see.
Yeah, and the showrunner is actually
just the way
leaving.
That's clear.
Yeah. The woman, I think Teresa, I don't remember her last name, but she helped create the show, is now leaving the showrunner responsibilities to someone else.
That's always a little worrisome.
Yeah, it is.
Not necessarily a bad thing, but you're never sure.
Yeah.
So, we'll it'll be interesting to see how that show goes.
Yeah.
I'm still watching it next year.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's skip over then to what's been going on at the box office this weekend, because it's been epic, to say the least.
It really, really has. The Hunger Games, of course, came in first. Duh. We all knew that. But you know how I've been saying, you know, it hasn't been a really big box office, and the number one movie has been making 20-some million.
Yeah.
And once in a while, we'll have a big opening, and it'll be like 40 million.
Right.
And then back down?
Yep.
Hunger Games. Now, there were a whole bunch of midnight showings, but still, one weekend, $155 million.
Insane. Insane. Yep. That is the third highest all-time behind Harry Potter 8, which was the second half of Harry Potter 7, and The Dark Knight. And this is a March release. This isn't even a summer blockbuster.
Right. Right. Or like a big holiday thing.
Right.
But yeah, it's middle of nowhere.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's just... I mean, we knew it would do well, but that's crazy well.
Yeah.
And then, so $155 million. Number two was 21 Jump Street. $21 million. Yeah, so a bit of a drop there.
Yeah, but still strong for a comedy that nobody really expected
totally,
to do anything.
Yeah, that's more of a typical number there. And then, but then third, The Lorax, 13. And then for fourth, John Carter, but we drop all the way to $5 million.
Which is another 50% drop from last week.
Right. And fifth, Act of Valor, to $2 million.
But still going. You know, here's another movie that's surprising. That's still drawing in audiences. Basically out of mouth.
Yeah, you think that would be, you know, the people that really wanted to see it would have seen it right away.
Yeah.
And it would drop off quick. But, it's still hanging in there.
There's one other surprise from the box office this week. There's a movie called October Baby. Which came out of nowhere, wasn't even on the release schedule last week, and made almost $2 million over the weekend. It stars John Schneider from Smallville and Dukes of Hazzard,
yes,
and Jasmine Guy. But it's a teen girl who learns that she survived an abortion and was adopted, and she finds this out.
I think college.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
Age, but, you know, late teens kind of thing, and she never knew about it, so...
So there's still marketability for films, whether it be in theaters or on demand, which there's a lot of on-demand stuff, you know, stuff going right to on-demand. Mm-hmm. Or, like you pointed out, there's actually a film that's being released both simultaneously on DVD and in theaters.
Right, yeah. If you want to quick talk about what's coming out in theaters.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to mention this twice, and I can't believe we're mentioning it all, but it's called Camel Spiders.
Which Patrick Noggle reviewed
for us. And I say, Pat reviewed it. But it's coming out in theaters and then on DVD too.
Yeah.
Kind of same day. It comes out Tuesday. And it's like a horror thing about big, gross spiders.
In Afghanistan, of all places. Yeah. But yeah, the other big movie, it is going to be another big week for the box office, although I don't think anybody's going to be able to hold up to the juggernaut that is Hunger Games.
Oh, no, that'll keep going for a while. You'll hear me say that title a few more times.
Yeah. Wrath of the Titans, which is kind of the hastily assembled sequel to the remake of the 1981 cult classic, Clash of the mm-hmm. Titans. Battle Los Angeles director Jonathan Liebsman takes over for Louis Leterrier and actually made a surprising amount of money with this Clash of the Titans. Yeah, it was kind of a crash. Clash of the Titans. But Sam Worthington, Liam Neeson, Ralph Fiennes, you know, big names, big budget.
Yeah.
And this one is Perseus goes to hell to save his father, Zeus.
Uh-huh.
So.
Sure.
The other big release is Mirror Mirror, which is the comedy version of Snow White and Seven Dwarfs.
Yes.
It's Julia Roberts as the Evil Queen and Lily Collins, who I think is famous for being Zac Efron's new girlfriend, among other things.
Well, you know, that's a pretty big role there.
But it's directed by Tarsem Singh, who also did The Immortals, or Immortals, I should say, which didn't do all that well at the box office. So a couple other things. Dark Tide. Halle Berry must be running out of diaper money or something, because this is a kind of Jaws meets Moby Dick thriller about a professional diver who's hunted by a malicious great white shark 9 years after they first had their encounter.
Okay.
So what, the shark's kind of been waiting for her to get back in the water? Yeah. And
well, the bigger story with this movie is it's Halle Berry and Oliver Martinez, her current fiancé.
Oh, okay.
So they hooked up on sets and are now hooked up in real life.
Yeah. Two more. Intruders, which is weird. It's a Spanish thriller that's starring Clive Owen.
Wait, it's a Spanish movie starring Clive Owen.
Yeah. So I think,
so how does that happen?
It may be in English, but the entire creative production team is a Spanish production team.
And a lot of the actors, too.
Yeah, and it's from the guy who gave us 28 Weeks Later, Juan Carlos Fresnadillo. But the description is kind of weird. It's a faceless spirit who's trying to simultaneously possess the souls of two children in two different countries.
Well, that takes talent.
I guess. And then the final movie coming out this week is the highly controversial documentary Bully. Not because of the subject matter of the movie, but actually because the Motion Picture Association of America decided to slap it with an R rating.
Okay. Now, can I just say, it's slapped with an R rating because the F word is used.
Yeah.
So that's R. But yet we can have the Hunger Games, which shows adolescents being slaughtered, and it could be PG-13. Yeah. But them saying the F word, God forbid, that has to be R-rated.
You know, I used to think that Jack Valenti was one of the stupidest men in the country for running the Motion Picture Association of America. But since Chris Dodd left Washington, D.C. and took over, it's become worse.
Yeah.
This man is an idiot.
Yeah, it's a documentary about bullying.
Yeah.
And so there's harsh language because people are talking about being bullied and what happened to them. So this is who needs to see it, is adolescents.
Right. You want to get it into the schools, and you
absolutely
can't if it's...
Absolutely.
You know.
And now it's not going to be.
Yeah.
Just, it's irresponsible. I mean, it ticks me off when it's stuff like shame and Blue Valentine.
Right.
You know, because heaven forbid we acknowledge that people have sex.
Right.
That ticks me off. But this upsets me so much because it's completely irresponsible to limit the audience for this, and the people who need to see it aren't going to be able to.
Well, and it just goes to show that the rating systems need to be reevaluated. I mean, they did it for television, they need to do it again for films, and we need to make sure we're doing this for the right reasons and not because somebody has a bug up their butt about profanity.
Right. Profanity gets it for you, but violence doesn't. And to me, that's completely backwards.
Right.
All right, I'll get off my soapbox now.
Okay, so let's, if you're not going to the theaters this week to see Hunger Games or maybe any of the other new movies that are coming out, let's see what's available to you on DVD and Blu-ray by going to DVDverdict.com, clicking on the upcoming releases tab, and looking at the cover art gallery for March 27th.
Okay, one of the things talking about adolescent drama movies, there's one coming out called Breaking Wind. Yeah. It's a spoof of all the Twilight movies.
Okay. Which is probably going to be as good as the spoof of all the scary movies, which...
Oh, I'm Sure.
And disaster movie.
It'd be excellent.
And, yeah. Ugh.
You know, in the good timing arena, The Bodyguard is coming out on Blu-ray.
Oh, God. And Kevin Costner spoke at Whitney's funeral, didn't he?
Yeah, they stayed friends since filming it.
Okay. Let's see. We've got Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Oh, yay. Let's go to the other end of the spectrum. Casablanca, 70th anniversary.
Wow.
So there's a collector's edition Blu-ray DVD combo. But, man, 70 years.
To answer the question that some people may have posed, is Charles Grodin still alive? Apparently so, because there's a one-man show called The Perils of Show Business that stars him coming out this week on DVD. So,
right.
And they're actually talking about remaking or creating a sequel to Midnight Run, which he starred in. De Niro.
Oh, I would so... I mean, that could be horrible, but I would give it a try.
So that idea has been kicking around Hollywood recently.
Yeah. Oh, that would be sweet.
It's kind of a weird week.
One of the bigger, shall we say, releases.
Yeah.
We talked about it last week and kind of reviewed it, but Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close.
Yes, we don't want to pass that up.
That is out this week.
Yeah. So feel free. I mean, there's a bunch of Titanic stuff that, because of the ship's 100th anniversary, of the disaster, over the next several weeks, you're going to be seeing a whole bunch of Titanic releases. And this week, it's Criterion's A Night to Remember. Yeah, as always, DVD Verdict benefits from you guys spending some time on these pages and checking stuff out. And if you are so inclined to order anything, we would greatly appreciate the business.
Right.
So, heading over to streaming media, Netflix, again, very little this week. I think they're kind of front-loading stuff for the month, and then as the month goes on, there's just dribs and drabs of what's coming. Rango, which is the Oscar-winning animated feature from Gore Verbinski and Johnny Depp, who are now shooting Lone Ranger out in New Mexico. Very funny, very beautifully done animated film. I mean, compared to... I love Pixar stuff, but Cars 2 was kind of a disappointment for me. Rango, on the other hand, was a phenomenal watch. And if you have not given it the time and attention, you must, because it so richly deserves it. Two short-lived series. The FX boxing series Lights Out is available in its entirety. Dave and Eric spoke pretty highly of this.
Yeah, it got very good reviews.
Yeah.
So,
but it only
just didn't get the audience, unfortunately. So maybe it'll pick it up now.
Yeah, another one-season show on their broadcast network, Fox, was the cop drama The Chicago Code, which has lots of familiar faces.
Dang it, I think got some good reviews, but just didn't get the audience.
Yeah, but those of you who have been through the Chicago theater scene and have gone to Chicago theater are going to recognize a lot of people in that show.
Yeah, because that was actually filmed in Chicago, unlike things like The Good Wife, which is set there, but not filmed there.
Right. And then if you're in for schlock horror, the sci-fi original movie Two-Headed Shark Attack.
Oh, I'm going to check that out
right
away.
Right up your alley. That's for Netflix. Over at Hulu, we've got a Schwanker movie.
The Schwank.
The Schwanker.
Which one?
The Resident. She stars as it's a thriller. She stars as a young doctor in a swanky loft. But she's being stalked by her creepy landlord, played by Jeffrey Dean Morgan from Supernatural and Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, interesting role for him.
Yeah. If you're into music, Bob Dylan, The Folk Years, spotlights his early career in New York.
That's interesting.
And if you like late 80s, early 90s, kind of Stephen J. Canal television series.
Who doesn't like that? Come on.
But this is Lorenzo Lamas, Renegade.
Yeah.
Which is about an escaped con who's working to clear his name of murder while working as a bounty hunter on the down low. So you've got long hair and leather chaps and motorcycles, and if you're into that kind of thing. over on Amazon.
Again, who isn't? Please.
Over on Amazon Instant, you've got all the latest DVD and Blu-ray releases as they occur. And then there's a handful of other stuff, like the Lizzie McGuire movie.
Hillary just had her baby.
Oh.
Or what, hockey player boy or husband?
Yeah, he has a National Hockey League.
That's good, you know. Yeah. But so her hockey hubby.
Yeah.
And she just welcomed their first baby. So congrats to them.
Jack Nicholson in a Western. How about that?
Oh.
Called The
Shooter. Okay.
His dad was involved in independent cinema, and he got to work in a lot of those. That's how he got his career started.
Oh, well, look at that.
He hit it big in things like Easy Rider. One of Hugh Grant's earliest roles, The Lady and the Highwayman, starring...
Oh, I don't know that one.
The late Oliver Reed. I don't either, but he's got very long hair and looks extremely young.
Okay.
And for those of you into intense sports, the 2011 Kung Fu Championships from Anaheim, California.
Available
to you on Amazon Instant and no place else, because it's got to be a very niche audience who's interested in that.
Okay.
All right. So I will throw it over to you for what's coming out on television.
Okay. Well, Dancing with the Stars started last week on Monday. So it's on this week again Monday, but a recap show and then the results show are on Tuesday. So it's basically all dancing, all stars, all the time. Saturday, I don't know how I missed this, season premiere of Escape Routes.
What's that?
I will tell you exactly what the site says here.
Okay.
Escape Routes is a new reality show that follows six teams as they drive in the all-new 2013 Ford Escape from city to city, competing for cash and prizes.
It's one long commercial is what you're saying.
It's a commercial.
Oh, my God.
Skies as a television show.
Because what I saw The Voice, I was watching repeats or, you know, catching up on The Voice,
and
they have
God.
One segment is like, has the one of the contestants driving a car while, you know, exploring.
Oh, American Idol does that too. They have like their Ford, I think, whatever it is, but their car, they keep showing them in. And,
unbelievable.
Oh my gosh. And even on Bones now, they have to make a phone call or listen to a song or something when they're driving to a crime scene because they have to show off the car because it's product placement. So this is a whole new level. It's literally a reality competition show, but it's based about a car, the Ford Escape. It's in the title, Escape Routes.
No, brother.
Oh, good Lord. All right. All new low. But what else? Saturday night, CBS, NCAA Final Four, and then the championship game for that is actually next week, Monday.
Later, right.
And Sunday, CBS has the 47th Annual Academy of Country Music Awards.
Oh, I thought we were done.
That's
with
Blake Shelton and Reba McEntire hosting that one. So, you know, if you haven't gotten enough Blake lately with The Voice, you can check that out. And then this week coming out in music, Joan Osborne has a new CD.
Where's she been?
You know, she has been listening to blues music because this is actually an album of blues covers, and it's called Bring It On Home.
Cool.
So, yeah, it sounds actually really interesting. You know, if you're a fan of her and been missing her a bit, you might want to check that out.
Voice the pipes to pull it off.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Talking about a set of pipes, Katy Perry, Teenage Dream, The Complete Confection. Not collection, confection.
Oh, gotcha.
Because she's all with her sweet
old
boobs made out of whipped cream cans and stuff.
And her colored hair and cotton candy hair.
But it's the Teenage Dream album, but they've added songs, and then it's like remakes of songs and blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
So if you haven't gotten enough of Katy Perry lately, either listening to her in the news, you can pick that up. And then The Woman in Black, the soundtrack. Now, how long ago did this movie come out?
A while.
Yeah, well, the soundtrack is coming out this week, and it's Marco Beltrami.
Yes, correct.
So it's his soundtrack, but yeah, so that's if you like the movie, you know, 2 months ago, you can pick up the soundtrack now.
Okay.
And books, talking about music, there is an autobiography coming out this week, Commando, the autobiography of Johnny Ramone.
Oh, wow.
Which should be quite interesting.
Yeah, there's not many of those guys left. They've been dropping.
No, so yeah, I'm sure there's some excellent stories in that one.
I'm sure.
Also, Rachel Maddow.
Yes.
From, you know, TV News has a book. It's called Drift, The Unmooring of American Military Power.
Huh.
So that's out. So if you're a fan of hers and agree with her viewpoints, or maybe disagree with her viewpoints,
exactly.
So what she has to say, you can pick that up. It's been at least 3 weeks since I've mentioned James Patterson. So obviously it's
there's
time
a new
to
book.
Do so again. Guilty Wives. It's James Patterson and David Ellis.
All right.
It's not just James Patterson, which means don't want to get sued.
He's the Roger Corman of the book world.
Slapped his name on it.
Exactly.
So anyhow, James Patterson has yet another book coming out. And prolific authors, Danielle Steele, here has a new one too, Betrayal, if you're a fan of her romance. And then, well, like we were talking about Hunger Games, they're re-releasing all of the Hunger Games series in paperback.
I'm sure.
All of those books by Suzanne Collins. So if you haven't read them yet and are kind of, you know, catching the hunger wave, you can pick them up in their new versions. And if you happen to be in New York on April 13th, I would highly suggest checking this out. Anthony Rapp and Adam Pascal, who starred in the original Rent on Broadway, they're doing a one-night concert at the Highline Ballroom, and they're doing a whole bunch of Broadway songs and then rock classics and stuff. They're really good friends, and they've actually done this before.
Oh, nice.
But that, I'm sure, will be quite incredible.
And if you didn't see Rent but saw Adventures in Babysitting, Anthony Rapp
was Stray Dog.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, everybody our age knows Anthony Rapp, whether they know it or not.
Right.
So that's what's happening in the rest of the entertainment world.
All right. Well, let's take a quick look at news on this abbreviated show. The new Doctor Who companion has been announced.
Yes.
Jenna Louise Coleman.
Younger and studier. So.
Nice. She had a small role in Captain America opposite Chris Evans.
Yeah, I'm sure she's wonderful, and we'll see what she does with the character, but it just seemed like they were kind of getting away. They were going lots of different directions with the companions.
Yeah.
As much as I loved Rose, but like the pretty young girl,
right.
You know, they were going much different ways.
With like Donna Noble, you know.
Yeah, that, I mean, going with Donna, even right now, you know, Amy and Rory having the couple.
Right.
Just doing different things, and it just seems they're going back to young, pretty girl.
Yeah.
So we'll see what they do with it. You know, I have faith in them, but I'm not wowed by the choice.
Yeah, Stephen is not tipping his hand to anything just yet, but she will come in mid-season, either Christmas episode or after, and take over for Amy and Rory, who are exiting the show. Look for Leonard Nimoy to make a long-awaited appearance on an episode of Big Bang Theory as Mr. Spock.
Okay.
And that, they're not quite sure he was on set, but they're not quite sure if he's appearing as Spock or if he's appearing as Spock's voice. Either way, he will be in Spock mode.
That'll be interesting. And what I was going to say too was, I don't know if they have an air date yet, but they actually got Stephen Hawking
that's
going
right.
to Death Star.
That's right.
Yeah, they're like pulling him in. Oh, so geeky stuff that even I'm excited about.
Yeah.
So.
Well, maybe they'll play Rock, Paper, Lizard,
Rock, Paper, Lizard, Scissor, Spock.
Yes. Maybe they'll play that game. FX, which has been on the cutting edge of television programming, original programming, continues to be because they're trying to negotiate with the Coen brothers to bring the cult classic Fargo into television mode as a series.
Oh, that could... Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And my guess is it would be something along the lines of a Twin Peaks-ish kind of thing.
Yeah, already then.
But it's all talk at this point. There's nothing official to announce. There's
That would be interesting to see how they'd do that and what characters they'd have. And,
right.
Yeah.
Right. And The Hangover 3, which they're now calling the end of the trilogy, which I don't know how you can call it a trilogy because the second movie is pretty much the same as the first, just in Thailand.
Yeah.
It's getting a release date of May 2013, so it's already locked in the theaters. And they're still writing the script, and it begins shooting in September.
What do you mean, they're writing the script? Do you mean they're taking all the references to Thailand or Vegas and putting references to what, like Hawaii
or
you know, Australia or
Bolivia
whatever.
Or something. Yeah, right.
That's all they have to do.
Yeah, leave it to Todd Phillips, and there's going to be, you know, all sorts of wacky hijinks.
Yeah.
And just as of 2 hours ago, Pacific time, as of this recording, James Cameron has revealed that he has gone to the deepest part of the ocean.
And he came back? Damn.
Yes, that means more Avatar, unfortunately. But yeah, I guess in human history, this one trench somewhere in the Pacific, I'm going to sound so stupid because I don't know exactly where this is, but... people have attempted to get down there before to reach the bottom of the ocean at this deepest part, and they haven't. And Cameron helped develop a new sub technology that allowed him to get all the way down. Yep.
Oh, wow.
And of course, they shot a movie while they were doing it, so that will soon be available on DVD and Blu-ray in 3D.
Okay. I'm sure it will be.
Yep.
Well, before we move on, Well, these two stories kind of fit together pretty well. Let's mention Whitney Houston. The coroner determined her cause of death was drowning, but it was due to cocaine in her system and all the damage to her heart from years of cocaine abuse.
So
the cause of death is drowning, but it really was due to drugs.
I don't know what it is about the artistic mindset that becomes so self-sabotage.
Yeah.
But it's true. You've seen it everywhere. I mean, be it Kurt Cobain, be it Jimi Hendrix. You see it in traditional artists. You see it in musicians and actors. It's really, really unfortunate. But
yeah.
I don't know.
So hopefully her family can have closure and all that, like, murder stories and things like that can be laid to rest.
Yeah, was Nancy Grace covering this one wall to wall?
Oh, I don't know about this one. Yeah. It didn't involve a little child.
Okay.
So I'm sure not. Well, it's not you got Ray J. But,
oh, boy.
Okay, so moving on to our weekly Kardashian news.
Yes.
You know, speaking of cocaine and white powder,
yes.
Kim was going to an event to, like, show off her new fragrance, whatever, in Hollywood, and she was walking the red carpet, and she got flower bombed.
Yeah.
Which means that's a thing people do, flower bombed or glitter bombed. This was flower. So some woman threw a whole bunch of flour on her as she walked by. And I guess the woman called up Fur Hag because Kim wears fur a lot and stuff, which is funny because, like, Chloe even did one of those PETA, I'd rather go naked than wear fur ads. But Kim still wears it. But, you know, kind of props to her. She didn't press charges and she, you know, at least in public, kind of laughed it off a little.
Well, and you know what's funny? Because flower bombing is an old thing. I first experienced it in Paris in 1986. And I kid you not.
You experienced it in what way?
We were on a tour. I was touring with a symphonic orchestra. And we were on a boat, a tour boat on the Seine. And somebody had taken several bags of flour and dumped them over the overpass as we went under.
Oh, my gosh.
And hit the top.
So, wait, you got flower bombs?
Well, I was one deck below, so I missed. Okay. I was outside the range of collateral damage. But, yes, that was the first time I heard about this kind of thing. But the story around town here is that Kris Jenner actually staged this event.
Really?
Yeah.
How interesting.
So they're not naming any sources, but there are people who claim that she is behind this. And that's why Kim is not pressing charges against this person.
Who knows?
I know.
I mean, I don't necessarily believe that, but I also don't, you know, put that beneath Chris. Uh-huh. So, well, that's our Kardashian news, which, you know, I have to say when I started doing this every week, it just so happened it was like the time of the divorce and stuff. So it was like the big story.
Right.
And then I thought I'd challenge myself to talk about them every week.
To find something
like
to say.
Like a funny challenge. And you know, can I just say it's so easy? I don't have to look. They're always in the news with something like top story.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was going to challenge myself, but it's not a challenge at all.
And on that sad note, we will wrap up this week's show. Thank you for tuning in. We will be back next week as Melissa and I will be on the road again, so you'll find even more interesting things to talk about. But we're scrambling to talk about things as the case may be. But you guys have a great week. And if you want to send us feedback, you can always email at mstaley@dvdverdict.com.
Or mhansen@dvdverdict.com.
And do you have any parting words for us this evening?
Bye-bye.